Be seated. Hardest thing to deal with after having a microphone this close to your mouth is when you have to cough. Yeah. This morning we continue our sermon series on that I've entitled Kingdom Bound, that we are all on a journey and it's all got the same destination at the end, the kingdom of God. The first week of the sermon series, do you remember that? It was weeks ago. We used Jesus' mission statement from the Gospel of Luke when he opened the scrolls from Isaiah and he said, this is what I'm here to do. This is what you should be here about too. Care for the poor. Bring good news. Care for the oppressed, the blind. And celebrate that sense of jubilee, of forgiveness of all debts. Week number two, I shared a bit about my calling and about how I ended up in a pulpit instead of in a classroom. And I reminded us all that each of us has a sense of calling in our lives. And at the end of the sermon, I used the example of David to remind us all that we're not intended to be perfect in order to be God's. But in reality, our brokenness sometimes connects us better to God than our perfectness. Because when we're doing great, oftentimes we don't think we really need all that much God. I'm doing fine, God. I got this. Last week was spiritual disciplines, and I said, this is not a chore. It's not busy week. It's intended to be meaningful in our spiritual journey, and all of us have different disciplines that work best for us. This week, we're talking about spiritual gifts, God's uniquely gifted, each of us given us talents, and God will use those talents. And for me, the best way to tell if I am doing things using the spiritual gifts God has given me is when I am filled with joy. So joy becomes the barometer for me. Oh, this is what God wanted me to do, because I can't believe I get to work and do this. This is fabulous. I think maybe one of the questions that might run through your mind briefly is, why should we talk about spiritual gifts when we're talking about the kingdom of God? Let me see if I can unpack that quickly and then move on to the spiritual gifts. Some folks, and I haven't said this before, some folks confuse heaven with kingdom of God. In part because Matthew changed every place in Scripture that he read that said kingdom of God, he changed it to kingdom of heaven. Not because it was a place, but because you don't say God's name. And Matthew writes to a very Jewish audience. So every time he would have seen the word God, he would have said, I can't say that. Let me say heaven. The kingdom of the one who resides heaven. I'm not talking about merely a heavenly kingdom. I'm talking about a lifestyle, a worldview, a perspective of being God's. Letting God be God and you understand your role in relationship to God. It's seeing the kingdom of God is more like using the lenses of God to see the world. God decides what has value, what doesn't have value. God decides, in the end, God decides who we really are and who we're not. You can try to be somebody you're not. It doesn't work out very well, does it? So there is a sense in which we can say, God created me, God created you, and God created us specifically in a certain way. Unique and different from everybody else on the planet. And we have to recognize that you don't look at Christianity and say, oh, I just have to do these few rules and I'm good. There's no single path that connects Christians to God. And anyone who tells you that there is taking the laziest possible path to their faith. You have got to understand who you are in relationship to God, and then how we all can work together. That uniqueness is part of God's plan for each and every one of us. God's kingdom is one where all of us do the things God designed us to do. We don't worry about the fact that we can't be that incredible teacher or this wonderful craftsman or, oh my gosh, I wish I was gifted in hospitality like some other folks. Because if you spend your time looking over the fence at the greener grass on the other side of the fence, what you determine is your grass dies because all you've been doing is gazing across the fence. So care for your spiritual gifts and your connection to God. Put on God's lenses. Who am I in God's eyes? That is who I really am. No more and no less. I am who God made me to be. My truest self is the one God intended me to be, not my ego, not the one I'll make up for myself, and it's not the one my parents always dreamed of for me. It's the one God created for me. There are a number of places in Scripture where spiritual gifts are described. Romans 12, Exodus 31, Psalm 50, 1 Timothy 2, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. But I want to read from 1 Corinthians 12. You may have heard this before. You may have heard parts of it, and some of it's going to ring truer to you today than it has in the past. So I invite you to listen carefully. Paul is writing to a church that he started in Corinth. And they are a unique church. The more you read the letters to the Corinthians, the more you realize they are some odd people. They had their own worldview in Corinth, and they thought that theirs was the best worldview. And so everybody couldn't figure out what to do with the Corinthians. Listen, this is the word of God for us this day. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's important context to know that this was a great trading city, and they had all kinds of little trinkets that they brought in from other places, little tiny statues that you could put on a table in your house and you could worship at your house. Not that we do trinkets and tourism kind of things and bring those things home and put them on the... Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, there's one of the sentences worth underlining. To each... Every one of us is given some kind of spiritual gift to be used for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Here's where we start our list. Wisdom. And to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the works of miracles. Did I miss faith? Did I say faith? The older I get, the closer the words seem to get together. I may have to move it up a font. To another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, which is what they were doing. The church in Corinth thought tongues was the only gift. It was the only thing that really connected you to God. So they were all in on the spiritual gift of tongues. And Paul had to round out the awareness. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If a foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable are clothed with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be, there's no telling what was going on at this church that Paul had to be so descriptive. But man, aren't we blessed that we have this image to use for the church? So God has arranged the body, giving a greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. I wanted to read the whole chapter because I wanted you to get that while we're listing gifts, that's not the important part. You have to remember that. Doing what we do with the gifts is for God's purpose. The other thing I wanted to get to was that last line to say, yeah, you know all those things we just listed? They're not near as important as what's in the next chapter. Do you know the next chapter? 1 Corinthians 13, love is not envious, boastful. Three things are incredible. Love, hope, faith, and the greatest is love. So Paul, in two chapters, has said to all of these folks in Corinth who had their egos inflated in God because they could speak in tongues, and Paul has said, by the way, if you can speak in tongues, but you don't have any love, it's almost worthless. So all of us are called to love, but each of us become part of the body of Christ and do very specific things because of the way we are gifted. There are a variety of lists of spiritual gifts, but all of them have to come out of Scripture. Administration, apostleship, craftsmanship, creative communication, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving. I could spend hours talking about these individual gifts. The gift of giving, healing, helps, hospitality, intercession, interpretation, knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, prophecy, shepherding, teaching, tongues, wisdom. A number of years ago, there was a survey and a small group study put out called Network that allowed you to discover your spiritual gifts. And it was a discernment process that folks would go through so they could figure out where the perfect place was for them to serve with great joy and be the unique people they are. In that process, I learned a lot about myself, but I also learned to appreciate in others some gifts that I don't have. I actually met folks who have the spiritual gift of miracles. It doesn't mean they do them. They just seem to be around every time they happen. For me, it was just fun to meet somebody who had that spiritual gift. The other thing I learned was it's almost easier to see spiritual gifts in someone else than it is in you. We could sit here and choose people we know. If I ask you who had the spiritual gift of hospitality in this room, we'd pick about 20 people, couldn't we? We're snickering over here because somebody said somebody's name. And it was the right name, and everybody could tell, right? If I said somebody had the spiritual gift of mercy, can you think of somebody who has a spiritual gift of mercy? Somebody that you know close or somebody on staff? There's no doubt in my mind that mercy comes up on Laura's list. Some have the spiritual gift of leadership and others have apostleship, and you can't say one is better than the other. It's important for us to know who we are in God's plan and God's story. It turns out that I have a few spiritual gifts. I had one person who took the survey and got all the spiritual gifts. It made me snicker. What I learned by taking the Network survey and working through it and actually teaching the class on it, my top spiritual gifts are mercy and teaching. Second on my list is knowledge, and third on my list, encouragement and faith. And those things make a huge difference. When I do pastoral care, oftentimes it's mercy gift and faith. So I have this great degree of confidence that God's going to take care of all of us. I will cry with you, and then I'll tell you, God's got this. And even if you don't have the faith enough to go along with me, trust me. Those folks who've got the spiritual gift of faith, just trust me. I have learned that I preach out of my teaching gift and I pray out of my mercy gift. I lead out of my encouragement gift. And when somebody says, man, that was really good, I know to give credit to God because it wasn't me, because I'm not the one who gave me the spiritual gifts. I may have done a little research, but God's the one who built me to be here. And he built you to be someplace too. For me, I know when I'm hitting the sweet spot, when I am just filled with joy. And I'm telling you, the place I know that is the absolute sweet spot for me is confirmation class. When I teach confirmation class, I'm doing faith development for folks. I'm using that teaching gift. People are moving from a place without faith to a place with faith. I get faith. I get to do encouragement. It's like everything I like to do or God has designed me to do works out to be perfect to teach confirmation class. And if you talk to some of the pastors I've served with, they'll say that one of the things they liked most about serving with me is I taught their children confirmation. It is a fabulous place for me. It is my sweet spot. I've used other things to determine who I am and what are the best ways for me to lead. And we did that when I was coming over. We took something called Colby A, and we determined that I'm a researcher, and I like to... Doris is giggling. I'm not saying that other part, but we'll just giggle together. I want to encourage you. There's that gift. To live out God's dream for you. I learned that there was somebody in the church in Tallahassee that had the spiritual gift of organization, and her passion was to work with children, but she had no desire to work with children. How does that work? A little trial and error and a little bit of coaching, and what we determined was she was the perfect person to keep the children's ministry supply closet perfectly organized, and she didn't have to hang out with children. We snicker because there's a sense in which, oh, but I was just really amazed at the fact that that sweet spot worked. We've got a number of things in on our table this morning to remind us that spiritual gift of hospitality has got to include cooking, right? For some. Spiritual gift of craftsmanship. Sometimes we don't realize that that's an important part of who we are. That craftsmanship is a God gift. Uh-huh. And you know people that have got that gift and have found their place in doing the they find such great joy in building a piece of furniture. Who thought that was a good idea? You go to the store, you bring home furniture, it just slides in and out, works perfect. Do we have any folks in here that just love tinkering with their hands? Craftsman types? I'm assuming the Band-Aids and the alcohol are for spiritual gift of mercy or helps. Helps is the, I'll help do almost anything. Spiritual gift of giving, mercy, teaching. All of these things allow us to find that niche that works best for us. I'm telling you about spiritual gifts not because I need you to run out and buy a workbook and have a workshop and do more classes. I'm telling you because God has a plan for you and for me. And when we live inside the plan, God's dream is fulfilled and the kingdom of God happens. We want just the right people doing just the right jobs. And when the people who love hospitality are at the front doors and not the folks who love craftsmanship. Have you ever been to a church where some of the ushers really shouldn't be ushers? Yeah, sorry. The role of usher needs to have something like a spiritual gift of hospitality, not the spiritual gift of my wife is in the choir and I want to be able to wander around because I've got ADD and I can't quite sit still during a whole hour of service. You laugh, but there are some folks in the kingdom who have chosen that as their path. We all have a place. And it's not a place of, oh, he's going to make me do something. No. Because what I'm telling you today is you have the right to say, no, that's not part of who God has made me to be. I want your yes to be yes and your no to be no. And if it's not your spiritual gift, don't do it. Don't work with children if you don't have a passion for working with children. It spoils it for the rest of us. You have, not here, but at other places you've visited and you've seen preachers that don't quite have the spiritual gift of teaching. Because sometimes we need preachers who've got the spiritual gift of leadership and administration and apostleship. I've got a great friend of mine, and his spiritual gift is not teaching, but he preaches out of his shepherding gift. And it is a fabulous place. And it is a fabulous place when the church has had big hurts. The sad part is the bishop keeps sending him to churches that have had big hurts. It is part of living God's dream for us all, using us in just the right way based on how we are wired by God to do kingdom work that we are intended to do. If we will know those gifts, if we will use those gifts, it will change the world. And it'll change the world while you get to be happy about changing the world, because you're doing exactly what God has designed you to do. I love teaching. So I'm glad to be up here this morning preaching and teaching. This morning I'm aware that school starts tomorrow. Do we have parents with kids putting them in the school system this week? Are we all grandparents and where our kids are grandparenting? I was saying to Carly yesterday, there really ought to be a spiritual gift of being a grandparent, because there's some joy in that. Tomorrow, students return to the classroom in Volusia County. And it has been my custom in my past churches to do a dedication of teachers and administrators the day before kids go back to school. And so I want to ask, if you are a teacher or an administrator at a school, and I don't care whether it's this district or another district, if you are a substitute, if you are on district staff, or you are on staff at a school, I'd like for you to come up here, and I want to do a dedication in prayer. Education is a calling. Being a teacher in a local classroom is a calling. And those folks who want to survive the ups and downs of crazy parents, that would be us, have got to know that it's a calling and they've got to find joy in it. This is not an easy role, but it is a critical role. When I was in Land O'Lakes, I wanted to make sure everybody understood that the best way to handle homeless student was to make sure they got good food and good education. Because in the long term, a homeless student with a good education won't be a homeless adult. And they won't have homeless children. And so I see education as kingdom building. I invite you to bow your heads. God of grace and love and power, we dedicate these persons to your love and to your dream. We ask you to give them strength through the week, patience to deal with parents and students, and a sense of grace and forgiveness that allows them to go through some trying times in the lives of students, where sometimes they know what's going on and sometimes they don't. We ask you to let these individuals feel our full support. And as there be a, if there's a place in your dream, in your kingdom, for us to offer support to these teachers, administrators, and staff, we ask you, Lord, to lay it on our heart today. Whatever we can do, we want to let the church into the classroom so that the classroom can transform the world. We ask you to let this be part of our kingdom building. We dedicate them to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you leave, I want to know where you're at. You are retired.
Substitute. Been displaced 2 years. Last year and this year, so I'm not placed right now. So I don't know where I'll be.
We're also praying for her to get a placement.
I'm retired. I substitute.
Retired substitute.
Atlantic High School.
High school math teacher, DeLand High School.
Fabulous.
Edge water. Public. I'm a paraprofessional.
Okay.
News,
and what do you teach?
Social studies and science.
Social studies and science. I guess at that age you have to be multi. I hope that if you have found yourself thinking, you know, we should do something, there's plenty to do in the classroom. If there's a way for you to mentor or to tutor, if there's a way for you to say, I imagine that there'll be a day this week where somebody will come without a lunch. Buy them lunch on me. or go to the bulk stores and buy snacks so that in the drawer there's something, because kids can't learn if they're hungry. I get to be feisty when I'm hungry. And so you know they will be too. We ask you to, we are investing in the future of the kingdom by investing in education, whether it's church-based school or not. All right? I think we have a hymn.